And we in here are going to be continuing our series in Colossians. I am loving this book. I'm loving all that it says. I'm loving all that God is saying to us. And we're going to look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. And I'm going to read it to us this morning and then let you know what we are going to be doing this morning for a few moments. We're going to take communion after I've preached this morning. And it says this in Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, in the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. I want to talk to us this morning about being free to be discipled. It's quite a huge part of the Great Commission, that. Quite a huge part of what Jesus said, and we're going to look at it this morning, is that we need to be free to be discipled. We need to sometimes let our inhibitions go and let other people in so that we can move forward in the life that God has got for us. And for this to really take place, we need to make sure that we are discipled as a whole person. You know, when I was growing up, it was all about how long you'd spent reading your Bible. That was how you were discipled. Okay, there's more to it than that. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, okay, that that when you've got children, you don't just parent one part of their life, do you? So if I've got two kids, Ollie and Caitlin, and Oliver's 5, Caitlin's 7. And if all I did was think, actually, the most important thing is that I feed them and I don't do anything else with them, some things are going to go wrong. Because who knows that 5 and 7-year-olds don't voluntarily take a bath? If anyone's got 5 and 7-year-olds who do, if they could really help my kids with that, that would be absolutely fantastic. Or 5 and 7-year-olds don't voluntarily get their homework out and don't voluntarily sit down. Some five and seven-year-olds may love to read. Mine don't. And if I didn't say to them, we're going to sit down and read your book now, they wouldn't do it. All my two would do, if all I did was feed them, all my two would do is eat and ride their bike. That would basically be their life. Okay, they wouldn't go to school. Okay, they wouldn't do anything else. They would ride their bike and they would eat chicken nuggets. And that would be about as much as I would get out of them. But when you parent a child, you've got to do it holistically. You've got to do the whole hog. You've got to parent every side of them. And I was watching this week this clip on Facebook of this mum sat at her kitchen unit eating ice cream, and her declaration was this: all three of my children are angry at me right now. And she began to tell the story about her parenting and what she's had to do. And she said, 100% of my kids right now do not like me, but I am okay with that. You see, the thing is, when you parent and you do it properly and you parent every side and every facet of your child, there will be times when they don't like it. There will be times when they push against you. And I joined this lady on Facebook this week going, I know exactly how you feel. I only have two, but I'm singing the same song right now. You know, there are mornings this week that I have sent my kids off to school and they really don't like me. They really like, and don't much like math either, okay? We're having that kind of push in our house at the moment where they're pushing every boundary and we have got to parent every side of them. So when, you know, they're not doing as they're told, we've got to parent that side of them. When they're pushing the boundaries, we've got to make sure the boundaries are firm. You know, when they ask for something, if my kids don't say please or thank you, they just don't get it. And they don't always like it, but here's the thing, that when you parent, you've got to develop every side of them. And this is what the Bible says in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news and make disciples. Discipleship is not something that is just going to happen. It's going to be something that is made. Discipleship has to be undertaken, realizing that we've got to go for the whole person so that we produce well-rounded Christians. As I was reading this bit in Colossians, I looked at some of the key words. I like to do this when I'm preparing, that I read. And some of the key words were words like this: continue. Don't give up. Carry on. Progress. Deep roots. How do you get deep roots if actually you're never discipled? Be encouraged. Established. Devotion. All of these words were words that will come about because people are discipled. When discipleship looks like this, people will be transformed and God will be allowed to change them. We achieve those things becoming established and rooted when we are discipled. And I want to look at this whole subject this morning, because God never said go into all the world and get people to stick their hand up. And that's what we measure sometimes success on in a church. 5 people put their hands up this morning. Actually, that's just the beginning of a journey that is going to take us to the point where those people become discipled and mature and begin to disciple other people. And the circle just keeps going on. It's not a vicious circle. In fact, it's an absolute graceful circle where actually people's lives are changed so that they can then impact someone else. And so I want to look at 3 things this morning about discipleship and about what it's going to take for us to be a church that disciples really, really well. And the first thing is this, is that discipleship is intentional. It's intentional, both by those who are discipling and those who are being discipled. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, you know, if you do the right programs and if you have the right worship songs, all of a sudden disciples will appear all over the place. Jesus said, actually, you go and you make disciples. You go and you teach them. You go and you do life with them. You go and you make disciples. Last week, my parents came to see us, and on Sunday night before they got here, I thought, actually, we just need some cakes. We're a cake-loving family. Okay, and my mum's a great baker, and we like cakes. So I thought, I'm going to make some cakes. You see, the cakes didn't just appear on my worktop. Okay, and I made them, and it wasn't by accident that I put all the ingredients into the mixer that I had taken out of the cupboard and placed on my worktop. It was no accident that all the ingredients got mixed together in the mixer that I turned on. Okay, then I put some of the mixture into each of the bun cases that I had put out, not by accident. Okay, I had meant them to be put out, and I put the mixture in. And then I put the buns into the oven that I had turned on. And when the alarm went after 15 minutes, I went and I took them out and I put them on the worktop. You see, things don't just happen by accident. They don't just happen by accident. There's got to be just some intentionality where it comes to discipleship in our church, both from us as leaders and from you as congregation. There's got to be the right intention. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22 says this: as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Something needs to happen when we decide that we are going to make disciples. And people are going to come into the life of our church with different things going on in their world at a different point in their journey. And it's not up to us to decide where their journey should go. It's up to us to build relationally with them and then let God do what God needs to do. About 2.5 years ago, and they've allowed me to share some of their story, I came up to check on toddlers and just kind of come in, how's it all going? And it was packed. And they were just about to do song time when a lady came up to me and I said, I need to talk to you. I was like, okay. And so we sat down. It was over here. I'll never forget it. And as the kids started to sing TikTok, okay, and they were all going a little bit crazy, she began to ask me the kind of church that we were. And she asked me this question. She said to me, I'm in a same-sex relationship. If I came to your church, would I be welcome? And what do you think of that? Well, I just came up to kind of check on toddlers and have a cup of coffee and wasn't, you know, expecting those questions to come in the middle of TikTok. And so I just sat down and I began to unfold where we stand on certain things as a church and where we stand on the whole issue of same-sex relationships and share a little bit of the Bible. And I said, but you know what? Whether, you know, the fact is that I don't necessarily agree with the act of homosexuality, but if you came to my church, you would be very welcome. You would be welcome. Because you see, people are going to walk into this place at different points on their journey. And over the last 2.5 years, I have had the absolute honor and the absolute privilege to sit with Jill and Zoe and to talk through some of these things. And when they first came in, and we laugh about this now, but when they first came in, they had no idea where the journey was going to take them. And I have to be honest, neither did I. You know, there's no handbook for pastors where it comes to this kind of journey with somebody. It's a very personal thing. And so I said to them, I said, listen, I have to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure how this journey is going to look. But I'm praying and I'm believing God and let's just do this thing. And as I was praying for them, God said very clearly, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, just these words came into my mind, Joe, don't go in with your agenda. Let me do what I need to do. And some pastors would jump on the bandwagon of the subject that stares us in the face and pile in on that. And I felt not to do that because I felt God had something to do in their life. And I tell you, I've watched them struggle with faith. I've watched them struggle with issues. I've watched them find faith. I've watched them as they have grown. I've had the absolute awesome privilege of watching just relationships be mended, you know, in family and stuff like that. You see, if I'd have jumped straight in with the you have to do X, Y, and Z to be a part of this house, which I know some people would think I should do, they wouldn't be on the journey that they are on. My stance, my theological stance on things hasn't changed. And we're going through that journey. But you know what? There's more to Christianity than theology. Because Jesus didn't agree with a lot of the theological stances that were around in the day that he lived. Yet he loved people. And what I've had the privilege of seeing over the last 2.5 years is them grow. But what they don't know, and I need to let them know this morning, is that I've grown. I've grown. As I've watched their journey, as I've grappled with it, and we've sat and talked about that, as I've grappled with the journey and wondered how to pastor, because there's no other church that I know of that have done this successfully. So I'm kind of, you know, we're all in the dark with it really. But we're finding that actually as discipleship takes place, as those conversations can be had, as we can be honest with one another about how we're feeling, as we can be honest with one another about what the Bible says, and I've been very honest with that, actually discipleship can take place. And I want to say to you this morning that discipleship needs to be intentional, that there is something intentional about them when they come to me and say, I'm feeling this in God, can I talk to you? And I'll just make space in the diary and we'll just sit down and we'll talk it through and I'll share, you know, the Bible with them and then we share life together. And we've had some phenomenal conversations. I want to say to you, that's intentional. That's people deciding, I want to grow, even though I don't know how the journey's going to look. I don't know, you know, what God is going to do on this journey. And sometimes we go in it with a bit of fear and a bit of trembling because we don't know what God is going to say to us next. But actually, when we decide that we're going to be disciples, something great can happen in our lives. Discipleship has always been intentional. The disciples, the Bible tells us, left what they were doing and they followed Jesus. They didn't kind of say, Jesus, next time you're in town, if you just come, we can hook up and have a cup of coffee and you know, we'll be discipled that way. They left what they were doing and they went and they followed him. And there are going to be people that are going to enter our church and that are going to come and become a part of who we are. And their journey may not look like what we think it should look like as Christians. But you know what? Discipleship is not an event. It is a process. It is a journey that we go through. And I don't know about you, but I'm still being discipled. I've been a Christian 39 years, and yet I'm still not there. God still hasn't worked on everything in my life. There are still things that when I sit with people who disciple me, they will pull me up on. There are still things in my life. And, you know, we may look at our lives and think there's not something as big in mine as what there is in someone else's life. But you know what? It's all the same when God looks at it. I want to challenge us this morning that actually, if we're going to be a church that is going to grow, we've got to be a church that is discipled. Every single one of us, and I'm going to look at how we do that, but every single one of us needs to be in a place where we are being discipled. You will not accidentally be discipled. It won't happen by accident. It will be a choice that you make and a decision that you take when you allow God to speak into your life through other people. And I want to challenge you, are you willing to pay the price and be discipled so that you can be all that God wants you to be? How do we do that at the moment in Generations Church? The main way that we do it is through our Connect groups. Next one's on the 4th of October, okay? And through our Connect groups, we bring discipleship, we bring leadership, we have fun together, we eat together, we pray together, we laugh together, we cry together. And I just want to really encourage you this morning, if you're not in a Connect group, okay, why not? We can find something that is going to work, that is going to fit for you. Because actually, to do life well, we need to do life together. And we need to be connected to one another. Things like Crown for Life that's going on at the moment, ladies, great for you. And it'll look at different aspects of our character and our personality. The book that we are doing this time is In Your Face. Christine Kane can't help but be in your face. She can't preach any other way. And she's looking at living unashamed. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal curriculum that she has done. And it just connects us and it helps us disciple one another. I love the fact that our youth have started Excel Up for our youth leadership team. And they're going to be going through a season of mentoring through different people within our church. And that is so exciting because what God can do in them through other people is absolutely incredible. And then we have leadership teams that, you know, we disciple one another when we get together and it is all fantastic. But in the next season of our church, we are going to be intentionally looking at how we disciple. It's one of those things. Tina, you know, was looking at community with Richard and Linda, and we have got a cluster of two or three people who are looking at how we disciple as a local house. Because unless we grow strong Christians, we will never grow the church. Unless we grow mature Christians, we will never grow the church. But you know what? We can have the best program in the world, but if people don't get involved with it, it's just a really good program. I want to challenge us this morning. Let's make a decision to intentionally be disciples. So discipleship, number one, is intentional. Number two, discipleship has totally different levels. Jesus gave us a model for discipleship in the Bible. And I want to tell you what that model is this morning. So the first thing that Jesus did is he discipled the crowd. So wherever he was, crowds followed him. You know, when he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, they'd been sat there all day listening to him talk, okay? And Jesus was discipling them as he was teaching them. So he discipled the crowd. Now, the crowd didn't have a personal relationship with him. The crowd didn't necessarily do life with him, okay? But he discipled them from afar. And if we look at the things that we do as a church, our events, you know, that maybe people come to that are not a part necessarily of our church, and it's the crowd. We disciple from the position of somebody preaching, somebody talking to the crowd. Jesus then had the 72. If you read it in Matthew, I think it's chapter 10. Okay, there were 72 people that he sent out to do his will, to do his work. He had these 72 people. The disciples were a part of that. Okay, but he had the 72. That's like our church. That's like us. We are the 72. We are the ones that meet together every week. We are the ones that go. We run the uniform bank and we do the youth group and we run toddlers and we come together on a Sunday and we pray together and we do life with one another. It's the 72. Then Jesus picked out 12 people that were his disciples. That's a little bit like our leadership team, if you like. Okay, and you know, he had the 12. But even within the 12, he breaks it down even more. And the Bible says that there were three of them who Jesus developed probably more than anyone else. And that was Peter, James, and John. And he discipled them. It's just a different level of discipleship. And then the Bible tells us that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. So Jesus gives us a model for discipleship, and discipleship has so many different levels. And for us as a church, we've already talked about that it happens in groups. And this is a huge part of who we are. You will be discipled through teaching when you're there and when you choose to be, when you intentionally choose to be a part of that part of our church. Secondly, it happens at peer level. I love this verse in Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do you know this morning that God has placed people around you to sharpen you, to help you, to disciple you? You know, this last week I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we're in some of those pushes in a morning with our kids. And some days I come into the office exhausted, okay? And if Jo is in the office, we share an office a few days a week. If she's in the office when I come in and I've had one of those exhausted mornings, iron begins to sharpen iron. As I begin, she goes, how are you? I go, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know how I am? Do you really want to know what my morning has entailed of? Okay, and all of you just think, you know, it's just the pastor and she never has anything to contend with. If you come around about 8 o'clock and just stand outside my house, you probably realize that's not really true. And so I come in and iron begins to sharpen iron, you know, or you know, we kind of meet together in our friendship groups. What do you do when you meet together in those groups? Do you just kind of wail away the time, or do you begin to sharpen one another? Peer level discipleship is absolutely incredible. You know, I'm meeting with some friends this week who disciple me, who, you know, they're not kind of my leaders or anything like that. They're just my mates. And we sit together and we talk about church and we talk about life and we talk about family and we talk about how we're doing. And it's just friends sharpening friends. I'd love to see that happening so much in the life of our church. That we connect in with one another, that we make friendships, that we allow one another in so much that we allow each other to sharpen us and to help us on our journey. And then there's one-on-one discipleship. Usually that's with a leader of some kind, maybe a connect leader or one of our senior team, someone appointed with the skills needed to bring your journey on further. Sometimes that's a seasonal thing. We hit things in our lives where we need someone to come in and just help us. It's very rarely a mate that will do that. You know, John Pettifer is my friend, but when he needs to be my leader, believe you me, the friendship gets put to one side and he'll say what he needs to say to me. And sometimes we need that kind of discipleship in our life when it's not just about, you know, being the friend and everything's going to be okay. It's about saying, listen, what you're doing is probably not a great idea. Let's try and break it down and see what you can be doing. See what God can be doing in you and through you. You know, and in our church, that won't be me that does it for everyone. We have got some great people within our church who are equipped and geared up to help people in their times where they need that kind of discipleship. But this morning, we're not going to know if you don't tell us. And I just really want to bring this word to us as a local house this morning, that actually if we build disciples in this way, God can do incredibly more than we ask, think, or even imagine in us and through us. But you know what? We've got to go to a level where we are willing to let someone else in and let someone else speak over our life. Discipleship happens best in the local church. And thirdly, this is going to be my final point. So discipleship is intentional. We've got to make it happen. Discipleship happens at different level. And then the third thing is simply this, that discipleship is essential. You won't grow to the extent that God wants and needs you to without it. Discipleship is a place of grace. It's a place of humility. It's a place where God can do something incredible in us. It's not about advice. Let's give it. Discipleship's not about, it's more about impartation than what it is advice. It's more about what you can impart into somebody than just what you can tell them to do. When I sit with people in this kind of way, it's more about what I can impart into them than me tell them, do X, Y, and Z, and then this will happen in your life. I want to empower people to win rather than just tell them how to do it. I want to impart something of what God has put into me into them. I remember quite a few years ago, I was at General Conference, AOG General Conference, and we were in the youth service. And Liz was preaching in the youth service at General Conference. And I was like there. I was like the biggest cheerleader. Like I amened like every word that she said. So she'd go, and I'd be like, amen. That is amazing. She said, and that's my girl. And she did an absolutely incredible job. And everybody was like, she is absolutely fantastic. I'm like, get your hands off her. Okay, she is in Louth. Now go away. And I can remember one of my friends coming to me and he just kind of, I was just stood at the back and she was chatting with the leaders and stuff like that. And he just came and he stood by me and he went, you know who she's is. You know who she belongs to. By the way that she preaches, by the way that she speaks. You see, she's been discipled. She's been someone who's gone through the discipleship process, who's gone through and realized to get to where I need to go, discipleship is more about impartation than me just having a list of do's and don'ts from somebody. That's not how we disciple. We disciple by living the life that God has called us to, and then other people come on the journey with us. In the Bible, Moses was discipled by Jethro, his father-in-law, for a season when Moses was doing way too much and he was trying to do absolutely everything. Jethro comes along and he says, Moses, this is how you need to do it. This is what you need to do. And Moses began to be discipled by him. Elijah and Elisha, okay, Elijah discipled Elisha to the point that when God took Elijah from the earth, Elisha's plea to him was, let me have a double portion of what you've got. You see, it's not Elijah telling him what to do. It's Elijah imparting something of the Spirit of God into him as they go on their journey together. We've looked this morning at Jesus and the disciples. If you look at the Apostle Paul and Timothy, it went past just a mentoring thing into a fathering thing. You know, we read a lot that Paul was like a father to Timothy. He discipled him. Timothy was one of his. And that's what it's all about. It's about having that connection with the local house, having that connection with one another, that actually when people see us, they know whose we are. Because there's a spirit running through this place like that when people meet us, and it's not, you know, we're better than anyone else, but it's like you can tell you're from Generations Church. It's usually because we're loud, isn't it? Let's be honest. Now, you can tell you're from that church, okay, because, you know, we'll amen everything and the hands will go up in worship. And because it's impartation. It's not, we don't stand here and say, during this line of a song, you all need to raise your hands. Let's just practice that. I know sometimes we have actions, but during the line of it, you know, well, that's not what we do. What happens is the worship team go for it and everybody else follows. It's impartation. You know, we don't stand and tell everyone what they need to do, but we just live in a way that we believe God wants us to live. When we're discipled or discipling, it's a lot about impartation. It's about what we leave with someone, not what we tell them. And you know what? In church, it's essential that we grow. I think it was 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and I was just in worship. And I stood there and it's like God gave me a revelation again of what being a leader is. You'll be glad to hear that. And I looked around and there were some people away and some people on holiday, and for one, you know, loads of different reasons. We were a bit lower numbers, and sometimes as a leader you can get a little bit discouraged with that. And it was as if I just heard this voice in my head saying, if you will pour into what you've got, everything that you are, more will come. See, it's not just about how many seats are filled, although that is important. It's about how we grow as a church. It's about how we let one another in. I had one of the greatest joys in May this year. Russ and Sarah Westfield were over, and Russ was preaching at church in the morning. It was absolutely amazing. And he sat with our core team in the afternoon. And he said to us, "You are the most welcoming church I've ever known. The way you welcome people, the way that I felt accepted this morning, how do you do that? How do you do family like you do it?" Do you know what, this morning we need to build on that. We need to build on it. And I want to really bring the challenge. Are you willing to intentionally grow? Are you willing to intentionally allow someone else in to help you with that? Are you willing to lay aside some things this morning so that God can do what he needs to do in you?